I'm going to keep in the Christmas theme as we come to the Word of God this morning, and love the songs that we were singing this morning and the singing about glory, glory, giving glory to His name, seeing Him glorified in the world. And in the earlier service, we're thinking about the steadfastness of the Lord. And as we think about our nation, we think about the things that are going on in our nation. And we see people panicking, and I don't listen to the news too long. It's not healthy, I don't think, really. But the one thing we do is worship and praise, because there we've got someone who never changes. You know, if there's a change in a government, you know what? Jesus will still be on His throne. He's still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And well, one thing we're told about His government is of the increase of His government and peace. There will be no end. So there's no need for us to get fraught or upset, because our hope is in Him. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He wants us to live that out. He wants us to live out the peace that He puts in our heart, so that others may come to know this Jesus who we want to see glorified in all the earth. Because if this world needs anything, in Europe, out of Europe, it needs something more. It needs Jesus. It needs His grace and His healing and His love and His mercy. And He wants to bring that through us, through His people. He's done everything necessary. And we're going to look at the scripture. We're going to keep to the Christmas text this morning. And if you would open, if you've got your Bibles, if you'd open at Luke in chapter 1, we're going to focus in on the story of Mary this morning, and how the angel came to Mary and he spoke to her and her response, and then what happened to her after that. If you take a step back, the big thing about Mary is that God wanted to birth something in her and through her. He wanted to birth something in her and through her. And while we don't need to be, and God's not calling us to be the parent of the Messiah this morning, and my passion is that God wants to birth things in us and through us. And just as He birthed something in Mary that blessed the world, so He wants to continue today to birth something more in us that reaches out and blesses other people. And so as we look at the life of Mary, let's pick up on how God birthed in and birthed through, so that we might feel the effect of the Word of God in our own lives. I'm sure that's what we want, isn't it? We want to be a blessing, because He's blessed us so. And as we look at His Word, we believe that He will change us, for His Word is powerful and effective, sharper than any double-edged sword. So we're going to read from Luke and chapter 1 and verse 26. He says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.' She was greatly troubled at this saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you'll conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will be great. And he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end.' And Mary said to the angel, 'How will this be, since I'm a virgin?' And the angel answered her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth is in her old age, and she also has conceived a son, and is in her sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God.' And Mary said, 'Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." Father, your word is already blessed, but we open our hearts to receive more of its blessing this morning. May we take on board these words, "Nothing is impossible with God." And may we live and grow by them for your glory and our and the world's blessing. Amen. Amen. So it's just a great story, isn't it? And Mary, and we have this story repeated so many times. We heard in the earlier service, and we've got a lady's name, but a teacher in charge or in over schools, and the nativity story lived out in schools. The opportunity, in some way at least, to proclaim the name of the Lord Jesus. And we have all those nice facets of the modern day nativity story. But I hope it's not sort of too near Christmas for me to bring something of a challenge this morning. Is that okay? I don't want to be a party pooper because we're at least a whole week away from Christmas yet. But, you know, I just want to say, I don't think it's a nice story, okay? It's not a nice story, all right? And I'm sure you know that the sort of the parts where the bits of the story that we've added in are not true. Can you think of some of the things that we hold in the nativity story that aren't actually a part of the Bible account? Anything come to mind? You shout them out if you can. This is a bit of congregational participation. So what's in the nativity, traditional nativity stories that actually isn't in the Bible? Three wise men. Okay, we don't know that there was only three. We know there were three gifts. Yeah, so maybe not three. Okay, anything else? Sorry?
Tea towels.
Tea towels. Yeah. Thanks, Tony. Donkey. Who said donkey? Yeah, thank you. There's no mention of a donkey. There's no, and that's awesome because, in all likelihood, Mary and Joseph did not ride on a donkey to Jerusalem, to Bethlehem from Nazareth. 90-mile journey, they probably walked. They probably walked. And Mary, pregnant. Is that nice? God, what are you asking her to do? You know, okay. Anything else?
Stable.
We don't know it was a stable. It could have just been in a home. We know that some layouts of homes had a section for animals, and in between there was a portion for a feeding trough. It could have been in there. We don't even know it was an inn, because another word for inn, that word could, same word, could mean a guest room. The guest room was full. There was no room for them in there. Anything else? Oh, there's lots of stuff, isn't there? We don't know that the shepherds gave a lamb. Okay, shock, horror. The wise men didn't follow the star from the east. They didn't. No, they didn't. They saw the star in the east. They only followed it when they got out of Herod's palace. They followed it from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. At least, I think so. But I just don't think that amongst all that trappings that we put on the Christmas star, I don't think it was a nice story. What sort of a God asked a pregnant woman to walk 90 miles from Nazareth to Jerusalem? And that's not the worst of how unnice this story was. You know, we meet the story, she's betrothed to Joseph. And she's getting married to this guy. And the wedding, we know, probably the betrothal lasted about a year. And after that, the wedding. But it was marriage in all but living in the same house and being united. They were married. And she was told, you're going to have a baby. You're going to have a child. And she sort of thinks, hang on a minute. What's Joseph going to say? And, you know, go to Joseph and say, Joseph, I'm expecting a child. But it's all right. I haven't known it's a virgin birth, Joseph. And Joseph goes, what? That's a new one. I've not heard that one before. Because this was the first time that had actually been used. But it was true. But how would Joseph respond? It's not nice because she was going to put Joseph in a difficult position. And we see that because Joseph comes back to her. He was going to divorce her quietly because he was an honorable man. But he put a big question mark on Joseph and Mary's relationship. Is that nice? But more than that, this is Mary, and you know, they think she's planning for a wedding. Who doesn't like planning for a wedding? Me, I don't like planning for weddings. You know, planning for my wedding, it's a long time ago now. I'm amazed that I can still remember it, but it was good. You know, planning for a wedding, you know, it's an exciting time, isn't it? And it was exciting for Mary. And a young Jewish girl living in that time, one of the things that she was looking forward to was getting married and having children and a family and being a part of the Jewish community. And now God comes and says, you're going to have a baby. And that throws all that out the window. You know, she's planning for the wedding. You know, wedding maybe, for example, is going to be in May. So March, we're going to book the flowers. You know, in April, we're going to book the driver of the donkey. We can afford a donkey for the wedding. You know, we're going to book, you know, we're going to get the dress fitted. White wedding, you know, It may not have been a white wedding. He may not have had a white dress. But nonetheless, the preparations, the expectation, the anticipation. And God comes and says, in one move, I'm going to give you a job to do that's going to throw all that out of the window. It's going to take all that from you. Because now there's forever going to be a slur cast upon you, Mary. People are going to say, she conceived out of wedlock. They weren't married and she got pregnant. Sometimes we think the will of God's always going to be joy and light. Maybe we know it's going to be tough, but this was Mary's plans into the future, and God came and said something to her that threw her plans out of the window. She maybe had got it all mapped out. She was betrothed. 12 months' time, we'll be married and living together, and it will be like this. In Nazareth, Joseph the carpenter will have a happy life with happy children. No, this time next year, you're down Bethlehem, and then you're fleeing to Egypt. See, it's not a nice story. In fact, as we meditate upon this, we find out that the nativity story is a deeply challenging story. It challenges us as to what our discipleship is like. See, if we want to be like Mary and be someone who births a purpose of God, we've got to be people who are prepared for God to mess with our agendas. Mary had a calendar. She had it full. March, plan this. April, plan this. June, get married. And she had a whole calendar that God came and took a hold of her calendar, pulled it off the wall, threw it away, and said, Mary, I've got another calendar, and I filled in all the dates on your calendar. Mary, are you going to take my calendar, or are you going to want to live by your own agenda? Are you going to want to live by the things that you've put in your calendar? I think there's a real challenge for us in the nativity story, because most of us have our lives worked out. We know how the routine of life goes. I'm not against routine. But I'm asking us to ask the question this morning. If we were to take our routine, our agenda, our calendar, our diary, and hand it over to God, how much of that diary will be left? And how much will God say, I'm going to scrub that, I'm going to write in this thing. My challenge to us this morning is, as we think about 2019, is to, if you've got a calendar up on your wall, maybe even to take a hold of that calendar and say, God, 2019, I know what 2018 looked like. And maybe for some of us, it was pretty similar to 2017. And God says, and hand that over to God and say, I pray over 2019. Lord, what do you want to put on my agenda? What do you want to put in my calendar? God, I give you permission to mess up my plan. I give you permission to do away with my agenda, because I want to say yes to your agenda. Now, for a lot of us, that may not mean a major overhaul like it did for Mary, but I believe the Lord's looking for hearts that are just as willing as Mary's to say yes to his agenda. Will you think about that with me for a moment? So maybe in your mind's eye, maybe close your eyes and maybe picture a 2019 calendar and take it down and say, Father, Heavenly Father, I am not my own. I have been bought with a price. I hand this calendar over to you, Lord. I hand my weekly routine over to you, Lord. What do you want to do with it? I'm yours, Lord, just like Mary was yours. Holy Spirit, I don't know what you want to do in the lives of these, my brothers and sisters, but you do. You do. Come and speak to us. I love the response that Mary gave. And just for a little while, just to focus on the two halves of this response. Wonderful words. I love the AV. I think she says in the AV, behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me as you have said. God hasn't just dropped any little thing on her. Mary, you're going to have a baby, even though you haven't had union with a man. Okay. And the one who's going to be born, he's going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's going to reign upon a throne, and on the increase of his government, there's going to be no end. Is that a little thing? No, it's an absolutely massive thing. It's absolutely awesome. It's massive. And Mary says, okay, I'm on board. Be it unto the handmaid of the Lord. And more than that, she says, be it unto me as you have said. Not just, I am all yours, but everything you said is going to happen. There are two halves of this. There's the yielding, the giving of herself, Mary. But then there's the laying hold of the word of God, grabbing a hold and doing it and getting on with it. And just for a few moments, just to think about that, I'm reading from the English Standard Version this morning, and the footnote of the word servant, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. It actually translates that at the footnote as bond servant. And this takes us back to a passage in the Old Testament, to Exodus in chapter 21. And back in the Old Testament, Moses was giving the law for the people of Israel. And one of the things that could happen, if you got into debt, you could sell yourself as a slave to one of your fellow Israelites. And they went on a 7-year cycle, with the 7th year being a Sabbath. And so you worked out your debt in accordance with how near it was to the next 7th year. And at the end of that 7th year, you were free from your debt. So slavery, not quite like we understand slavery. You were set free. And so the debt was paid and all was good. God didn't want permanent slavery amongst his people. And he provided a way for people to be released from the oppression of debt. And so that's a wonderful thing that was there in the law. And but if the one who had been a slave actually had got so connected to the one who was his master, if he'd actually realized this guy is a really good master, he's actually a lot better at the figures than I am, and an organization, and actually I actually want to stay with this guy. I actually want to commit myself to this man because he's good, and actually my prospects could be a lot better with him than on my own. Then there was a provision made for the slave to say to the master, I want to belong to you. I want to be your slave forever. And what would happen before God, the master would take, you find it there in Exodus 21, he would take an awl. You know what an awl is? It's one of those pointy things. It looks a bit like a screwdriver. It's got a sharp point, and you can make holes in things, leather or wood. I use them to make a pilot hole in wood. So you take an awl, and here's the nasty bit. If you're squeamish, don't listen. But it would take an awl, and he would take the lobe of the servant and pierce through the lobe into the wood of the door frame of the house. The symbolism was obvious. This was costly. It was a symbol of blood. It was a permanent transaction. And the symbol of the doorpost is that this servant doesn't go beyond the door without the master say so. He belongs to the house. What an interesting thing. What a wonderful thing. That this servant should feel so committed to the master that he should have his ear pierced to the door and so by make a mark where he was permanent, belonging to the household. This is the translation of this word that Mary says, I am the Lord's servant. And I thought about that, but the Lord doesn't call us servants, doesn't he? Does he call us servants? I remember that passage in the Gospels where Jesus says, I no longer call you servants, for a servant does not know his master's business. I call you
friends.
Thank you. I call you friends, because he was elevating to the level of friendship. And another part, when the resurrection, we find that Jesus says to Mary, go and tell the disciples. He didn't call them the disciples. He says, go tell my brothers. He calls them brothers. The apostle says that we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. He does example for us this sort of service in the Last Supper and the washing of the feet. Now that I, your Lord and Master, have done this, so you'll be blessed if you do this one to another. But I got to think, where does he say, you are my servants? But he doesn't. So commanders like that, he leads by example. But it's something almost that Mary takes upon herself willingly. Because of this blessing of God upon her life, she calls herself, I am the Lord's servant. I wonder if that's something that we've ever taken upon ourselves. This word servant that's found here is the Greek word doulos. Some of you may be familiar with that. I remember it because I think Operation Mobilization had two ships. One was logos and the other was doulos. But it means servant, slave. This sort of servant had no rights. This sort of servant was under the directorship of the one who was the master, and they couldn't leave the employ. Somebody has said this was the lowest form of existence there was in the Roman world, to be this sort of servant. Maybe not something that the Lord says, you are my servants, but if we read the Apostle Paul, it's something that Paul claims for himself. As he opens up some of his epistles, I think in Romans, he says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. It's there in Philippians and it's there in Titus 2, the opening. A servant, a doulos, a slave having no rights except to be bound to this one. This is one of Mary, the wonderful thing about Mary. I am the Lord's servant. I've got no rights myself. I don't have any rights to fill my calendar in. White wedding, glorious plans for the future. I lay them all on one side in order that you might have your way in me. I wonder this morning if there are things that we need to lay on one side, if there are plans and hopes and dreams. Sometimes God gives us those. If those are God's, then go for them. But some of the things in our lives are not God's. Some of the things we need to sacrifice in order that he might birth his purposes in us and through us, like Mary. She yielded up control of herself. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. I yield up full control of myself to you. Full control. I wonder if even this morning, as we're thinking about the Word of God, the Holy Spirit's challenging you. It's so easy to get into the routine of church, and we know the language, we know the theories, that Jesus is everything, Jesus is Lord, and that church isn't just about turning up at meetings, it's about being the community of the redeemed, the kingdom of God. But the Spirit of God is calling to us, is saying, what you've got is taking you to where you are. But this world needs something a bit more than that. It needs the very life of Christ. And he's looking for a people through whom he can manifest his life. I was praying earlier this morning and remembering Peter and John on the way to the temple after the resurrection and the pouring out of the Spirit. And they say, silver and gold have I none. And this world longs after material things. But what they really need is Jesus. And they say, but what I've got, I give to you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And I had to say, Lord, so too little of Jesus in me. Too little of Jesus in me to give away to other people and see them rise and walk in the power of God. God, do a work in me that I give myself as your hand, your bond servant. Pierce my ear. Do you remember that old chorus you used to sing? Pierce my ear, O Lord, I pray. Maybe in your heart you want to say, Father, I'm yours. I don't want any future except your future. Take my ear, Lord, and pierce it to the doorpost of your heart. This was the self-yielding. But the next bit is just as important as Mary gives herself to the word of God. She says, behold the handmaid of the Lord, but be it to me as you have said. You might get the impression that what I've just said is about yielding and self-giving. It's a bit passive. It's a bit self-giving. But Mary shows the other side of what's needed here. Be it to me as you have said. And we see in the very next verse that she takes hold of the word of God and she gets on with it. She does it. If you were to read on just past what I read, in those days it says, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town of Judea, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. The angel told her Elizabeth was expecting. The next thing she does is she rushes over to Elizabeth's house. And you might want to think, why does she go to... The angel didn't say you got to go to Elizabeth's house. But the word that sort of challenges me, I've got it underlined in this Bible, in those days Mary arose and went with haste. Haste. I'm thinking, why is that word in there? What does it mean? Why does he want to tell us how fast she went? But as you begin to think about that word, you begin to think about the implications of that word. What does it mean that she went with haste? Haste is she went with speed. She went urgently. She went directly, or directly, maybe. No, she didn't go directly. No, definitely not. Haste. What sort of things are coming to your mind? She went with haste. Everything else has been put on one side here. God has given her a command. She's getting on with it. If God had given us a word like this, what would we mean? Well, Lord, I just want to sit on that for a few days and pray about it. That's a big word, Lord. How can I be sure that was from you? And maybe I've got to go and talk with the pastor and pray it through. Maybe I've got to fast for a little bit. Maybe fast for a couple of months, Lord. You know, she went with haste. Haste. I'm always challenged by a similar passage. In its challenge, when Abraham was told by God to offer up his son Isaac, way back there in Genesis. And God says, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and offer him up as a sacrifice. You know what it says after that, after Abraham got that word? He says, well, Abraham thought he'd better wait on the Lord for a bit and find out whether it was God's will. But go and talk with the eldership of the church. All these things are good things to do. You know what he actually says? He says, so he got up early the next morning. He prepared the sacrifice, and they went. Now, the reason why it says he got up early is because he got up earlier than usual. God gave him a command, a massive command, sacrifice your only son. And because it was God, he got up even earlier than usual to obey God. That's a real challenge. Mary went with haste. I want to ask you, is there that sense of urgency in your obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ? If we want to see things birthed in us and through us, as Mary knew things birthed in her and through her, are we ready to obey in the same way that Mary obeyed, with that sense of nothing is important except his word over my life? She went with haste. And she went to Elizabeth. She also went to a place where she was going to get encouraged, because Elizabeth was going through similar things. So that's why church is good, because we meet with people of similar mind who can encourage us in the will of God for our life. And Elizabeth encouraged Mary in the things that she was going through. So Mary was strengthened. So as Mary got there, the babe in Elizabeth's womb leapt for joy, a confirmation, an encouragement. And Elizabeth leashes out in praise. Oh, I'm so blessed that you've come to me. All this, that meeting up with somebody who was going through the same thing, brought deep encouragement and strength into Mary's life. And that's why we meet together as church. There's some big challenges that the Word of God present before us that we're looking at this morning. We can't do it on our own. We need to get with people of like mind. People who can say, yeah, you know, when you spoke that word to me, I was rejoicing in the Lord. It excited me. Go for it, and I'll pray for you and pray with you. Be encouraged. So Mary grabbed the whole, be it unto me as you have said. Not as you have said, oh, and a bit of me because I want to do that there, and a bit of me more because I want to do that there. Be it unto me as you have said. She was only taking her directions from one place. From the word that the Father had spoken into her life. Sometimes we may think it's a bit difficult to know what God's will is, but can I encourage you to move? Mary moved with haste. I worked for 5 years in a warehouse. Anybody ever worked in a warehouse? Yeah, it's all right working in a warehouse. And the type of warehouse we were in, the truckers used to come in. They used to drop their 40-foot trailers off and disappear. So that meant we had a bit of fun, because we used to have what we called a shunter, which was the traction engine, the tractor part of the truck. You know the trucks that have bends in the middle, the bendy trucks? Articulated lorries, that's the word. The front bits, and then we would hook up the trailers and we would back them into the loading bays and take them out again when they were finished loading and unloading. But the first shunter, the first tractor unit they gave us, was because it was a new warehouse, was a really old truck. It was an old ERF, and it had no power steering. It had manual steering. Now, these days, most cars have power steering, and it's easy to steer. But you can imagine a truck without power steering. And it was hard enough to steer, but if you got 24 tons on the back, you can imagine that this truck, when you try to turn the wheel, if you were stationary, you could hardly turn the wheel at all. But it was amazing. It always amazed me that all you needed to do was get going 2-3 miles an hour. And all of a sudden, the steering came so that you could turn it. And you could move it. And you could change direction, even with the great weight on the back. See, Mary moved, and God blessed her. Elizabeth spoke to her. Mary, as we're going to look in a moment, was released in praise. You know, sometimes we're looking for God's will and God's saying, you know, you've got an inkling of what I want you to do. Step out. Move. God finds it very difficult to steer stationary Christians. He finds it very difficult to steer stationary Christians. We've got to step out. We may be only moving 2 or 3 miles an hour, but he can begin to direct us. He can begin to shape our direction. It's there in Scripture. The Apostle Peter, when he was in the boat and Jesus came walking on the water, he said, Lord, if it's you, let me come to you. And the Lord said, come to me. So he got out and the first few steps, yay, and then he sank because he looked at the waves and not at the Lord. But what did he do? Hey, he got it wrong. He sunk, but he got it right. He got out of the boat. There's a man who wrote a book, John Ortberg, he says, if you want to walk on water, you've got to get out of the boat. And Mary moved. She moved, folks. And some of you this morning have been sat on words that God has given you years ago and you've never moved on them. And I was preparing, I really feel that for some of you, God's reminding you of those this morning. And he's saying, time has not passed. My word to you is still current. If you will still move on that, I will still bring it to pass in your life. I will still bring it to pass. We only need to look back to the beginning of this chapter, and John the Baptist's father, Zechariah, the angel appeared to him and said, your prayer has been heard. I want to know how many years before had John prayed that prayer. I think he and Elizabeth had given up praying for children. They'd forgotten about it. I think if he prayed for it that morning, when the angel came, he would have been fresh in his mind. He'd say, yes! But I think he'd forgotten about it. So when the angel came, he says, I don't believe you. You see, he'd forgotten about the prayer, but God hadn't. God hadn't. And even this morning, God's saying to some of you, you've been sat on the things that I've been calling you to do and you've not moved. And even now he's saying to you, my child, move. Step out in faith. It's scary. It's like Peter getting out of the boat. It may be massive. It was a big thing that Mary was responsible for. But take a step of faith. And even if we don't get it quite right, guess what? When we're moving, he can steer us. He can steer us. May I encourage you to step out. Step out. Be obedient. Be encouraged. His word to you is still good. It's still good. And if all that weren't enough, we've had these two halves. God wants to mess with our agendas. I'm sure he does. Nativity is not a nice story, folks. It's a deeply challenging story. He asked a young woman to screw up the rest of the plans for her life. Forever she was known as that woman who conceived out of wedlock. From having a nice future in the community of Israel to being having a future that was forever overshadowed by what happened way back then. He messed up the whole of her life, and she was willing. Behold, I'm your servant. I'm not mine, I'm yours. Be unto me, not as I say, be unto me as you say. And then she stepped out and did. Just in closing, is this good? It's good because the good bit's coming. She overflows. Just briefly to look at the song. If you've got your Bibles, to look at the Magnificat. Luke chapter 1 and verse 46 and following. The angel came to him and says, God, Mary, you're blessed. Mary, you are highly favored. And she says, how am I going to do God's will? And he says, God's going to empower you. All he looks for is a willing heart, and his power will fill your life. You step out in obedience, and he will do the rest. He will come in behind you with power. And that's where the Spirit of God will overshadow you. The Most High will overshadow you. The Spirit of God will come upon you. And all this released Mary. So she was going to be a young woman married to Joseph, raising a family in a nice Jewish community. Nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. But let's have a look at the Magnificat and what she ended up being. And Mary said, verse 46, my soul magnifies the Lord. Through this word of God and her obedience to it, her self-denial and her commitment to God's word, she gets a bigger view of God. My soul magnifies the Lord. She had a bigger understanding of who God was, and that bigger understanding of God impacted her life again. You want a bigger understanding of God? You want a greater understanding of who he is? Then yield like Mary. Behold, the servant of the Lord, be unto me as you have said, and step out in obedience. This release came to Mary. My soul magnifies the Lord. All of a sudden, she had a bigger understanding of God. And my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. She came to a new place in joy. Are we living miserable Christianity? Is there that within us which isn't as it should be? Getting to the place of yielded obedience and stepping out. And it released Mary in a new joy as she followed him. And she says here in verse 48, for behold, now on all generations will call me blessed. She'd escaped just being a mum, nothing wrong with that, in Israel. And now she had a picture of her life impacting the generations. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. All of a sudden, the purpose for her existence had just expanded, where she was going to touch generations beyond her. Is that the sort of Christian experience that you and I want? Do we want not just to affect, not just to live our lives and turn up in heaven one day, but to live our lives in such a way that we impact the generations to come? To live our lives so that it's not just about me. Our God is too small sometimes. Our vision of what he wants to do in us and through us is too small. While we don't need to bear the Messiah, I believe that God has a great vision of his kingdom for you and through you. He says this, greater things than these will you do, because I go to the Father. Have we known those greater things? They're there for us today. Have you got a heart to impact the generations? It's your birthright in Jesus Christ. It's your birthright. If it's your birthright, don't be like Esau, who easily dealt away with his birthright. Treat it as a precious, precious thing. Call upon God to fulfill it in you. Yes, it's a big thing, but Mary didn't understand this until she came into that experience of the Holy Spirit. I do believe that God wants us to ask of him. What does he say in Psalm 2 of the Messiah? But it's a spirit that we can take upon ourselves. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations. And that's for us as believers. You know, Hebrews 11 verse 6. And it's a great verse. I always remember. Anybody remember that children's ministry guy, Ishmael? He always used to put scripture to song. And these Hebrews 11 verse 6 was, Hebrews 11 verse 6. Without faith it's impossible to please God. I won't ask you to sing along, but there you go. I remember that. But the next bit of Hebrews 11 is very important. For anyone who comes to God must believe that he is and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So you've not just come to a God who pays the salvation check to us. He's a rewarder. If you're anything like me, I come from a sort of a mend and make do sort of background, you know. And it was sort of, you know, just mend and make. But we haven't got a God who's a mend and make do God. All the riches of eternity are there for us in Christ Jesus. Romans says, he who did not spare his only son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us everything? We haven't got a mend and make do God. We've got a God who wants to live out his kingdom in you and through me. But it's just little me. It's just, who am I? You are a child of God. You're an heir of the Father. You're a co-heir of Jesus Christ. It's time the world knew that you've got royal blood flowing through your veins. It's time we, like Mary, said, it's all yours, Lord. I'm going to do your will and step out so that we might know that we've got an inheritance impacting the generations. You think that's too big for me? I would ask you, get before the Lord on this scripture. You say, God, what do you want to do in me and through me? Just one more thing out of the Magnificat and then I'll close. Just that last part. Verse 54, he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his offspring forever. Mary, this little Mary, she knew that she was fulfilling Old Testament prophecy. Her life was a fulfillment of the faithfulness of God and the word of God that was spoken. Isn't that awesome? It's the same call for us today. The Lord Jesus said, go into all the nations. The Lord Jesus has said, you'll receive power and you'll be my witnesses. He wants us to know that our lives are a fulfillment of the faithful word that he has spoken. There's that word that comes from the Old Testament prophet, and the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. It's not yet. In one sense it is, but people don't know. Lord, I believe that prophecy, and I'm going to give my life to make it a reality every day. It's not a nice story, but it is a great story. It's not a nice story, but it's an eternal story. And it calls you and I to give ourselves to the same thing that Mary gave herself to, and know ourselves with a bigger view of God, a greater joy in him, and a sense that we're a part of his eternal purposes being worked out. Praise God for Christmas. All the things that we see in Mary, we see in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not really mentioned in the passage, but we haven't got time to talk about the fact that he sacrificed. He became a babe in the womb who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. We've got a lot of joy set before us. May we be as obedient as Mary and the Lord Jesus was. Bless you, folks. It's been a real privilege to share with you, and I just pray the Lord will continue to bless you as we seek to respond to him. Amen. Thanks, Matt. God bless you.